Hello and welcome to La Cosa Nostra. I'm Edward.
I'm Noah.
And today we're doing Hot Fuzz, the second film out of three from the infamous Cornetto trilogy, starring Simon Pegg and Nick Frost in this police buddy cop drama. As always, if you haven't seen it, please go watch it before you listen to this because we will be discussing spoilers.
Okay, like, so when was the first time you saw Hot Fuzz?
So I remember watching it a long time. So I was maybe 10 and my mom showed it to me because it's got that like classic British comedy that a lot of films have that's just, I find, absolutely hilarious. Mm-hmm. So I watched it then, and then more recently I introduced a friend to it at a sleepover, and he was originally a bit hesitant to how good it would be. He actually found it really good in the end, which is a relief. And I mean, undeniably, it's a brilliant film. I mean, the comedy for me is always on point. There's so many funny jokes. I mean, there's, from the beginning, I think the first joke is, you know, wait till you see how the team feels about this. And then they've all got the like signs and the confetti and everyone's happy about him leaving. I think it's just really, really funny.
Yeah. So the first time, like, I only saw this movie like, I think 2 months ago. But
really?
The first time I heard about this was about like 3 years back. And there was this person in my old school. And he used to talk about this movie all the time. And he was like, Hot Fuzz is so good. Hot Fuzz is so good.
It is.
What's your favorite movie? Oh, it's Hot Fuzz. I'm like, and I was just thinking, what is this movie called Hot Fuzz?
I know.
Never heard it in my entire life. What an odd title, Hot Fuzz.
I know. It's one of those movies I find that if you're not like, it's a super British movie. You know what I mean? Like, if it's kind of the thing where it's only really famous in kind of the rural villages of England. Because it's like, it's that kind of movie, you know? It's like a beer bar movie that's just kind of, it's so funny, but it's like, it's not great, like, constructed movie, sure.
No, it is. I think it is a pretty,
I've
got a few issues with it, but like, it was then like 3 years later, I was like, you know, like, I was like, okay, I'm actually going to sit down and watch this movie because it actually looks pretty good. And then, you know, I came out enjoying it and I decided to watch Shaun of the Dead after that.
So, I think we should start with the positives. So, I mean, obviously, as we've spoken, it's really funny.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Simon Pegg, I think this is his best movie. He is
undeniably
brilliant.
Yeah.
Coupled with Nick Frost in this like very funny, odd buddy cop is just brilliant.
Yeah.
I think the way that it kind of takes the Mickey out of like American buddy cop movies.
Yeah, that was really, you know, how they went to go buy those DVDs and like watch it. And then
Catherine Bigelow's Point Blank and stuff like that is just like Point Break, sorry, is very much like the heart and soul of this movie is, you know, what would it be like if you put it in the middle of rural Britain? And I think it still works, which, you know, is a testament to how good action body cop movies can be. But I think the thing that's really special about this movie is Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and also the surrounding cast are all dedicated to making it a comedy film. Mm-hmm. Like, every character in this film is funny.
Yeah.
You know, from the police team to side characters like the man with too many guns in his closet,
the
thief who steals
the guy
from the
who just has a bomb, just like
they're all so funny, honestly.
And like, I was quite surprised when I saw James Bond as like what was he, the mayor? Timothy Dalton. Like, I was like, oh, what is he doing here? That was quite cool. Yeah, this has got like a really good cast.
It's got a very solid British cast.
So there's just like a few things that like hold this back from being a perfect movie. I feel like it was a problem I had with Shaun of the Dead as well. The movie just at the end, it kind of falls apart.
I know, like, yes.
It just,
but I think it falls apart in the same way that kind of, if you've seen Deadpool, any Deadpool movies or anything of the same way, it's kind of self-aware. This film is very self-aware that it's like a kind of like not perfect movie in itself. It's aware. And it kind of, the whole point of the film is to like make fun of American films. And very commonly, you'll have things where like there's a big shootout at the end or something like that. And that's kind of what this does, but cranks it to the max.
Yeah, the shootout isn't the problem. It's the idea. There's no like switch or like surprise. No, these people are just part of a cult. That's what they had thought. And it was just like that came completely out of nowhere.
Yeah. I would agree that that kind of is rushed a bit, but it, I think the reveal is relatively well handled, and something feels off through the whole film. So I think in terms of script writing and like the way it's written, the plot is really good.
Like, yeah, it's got a really good plot. The cult
village thing, it's fresh, it's ingenuity.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't see it coming, but it was like, at the same time I did, because it was like,
yeah,
okay. The,
it's gently hinted at along the way.
Yeah.
I think as well, like, yeah, so the way that it's written is really good. The cinematography is a bit of an underrated kind of...
Yeah, it's really
It's a good-looking
nice.
Film.
It is. You know, it's got, I don't know, like something about this film, it just got that proper British quality that you don't get from other films. That's the thing with this movie. Like, it's really nice to have a break from seeing, like, all these American films.
It's kind of, it's
time.
Not overly polished.
Exactly.
It's a bit, it's like, it's not unfinished, but it's, you know, left a bit rough around the edges.
I know. That's why I like a lot of, like, Wallace and Gromit films as well, because, like, they've got that British charm to it.
It feels a lot like a Wallace and Gromit movie.
Yeah, it's got that,
just
that genuine
so
Britishness.
So much violence. I know. So much
it's
violence.
It's just, like, pretty over the top and stuff.
And I think that kind of that over the top violence is part of what makes that film so good. Like, the way that Hot Fuzz is just really, really quiet at the beginning and then suddenly gets so violent out of nowhere.
Like, people just start dying out of
nowhere. Yeah, like that church scene where
that's what I was about to say.
Impaled.
The guy just comes out, his head just completely comes off.
Just blood everywhere. Like, I don't know. I saw the 15 tag and I thought, okay, it's going to be a bit violent, but like, that is completely out there.
Just gonna say, Shaun of the Dead, it gets a lot worse than that. Hot Fuzz is nothing compared to all the stuff that happens in Shaun of the Dead.
Obviously, this is the classic Cornetto of the Cornetto trilogy.
Yes.
Strawberry would be...
Hot Fuzz was... Okay, this was the blue one.
Yeah.
Hot Fuzz, I want to say...
Shaun of the Dead was the red.
Was the red.
And then At World's End is the green, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I think... The good thing about this as well, on the comedy, we'll move on from comedy soon, but the way I think the funny thing about it is the repetitive jokes that are done over and over.
Yeah.
You know, like the where do you want to go shop, and then they get a cornetto and then they come back. And then the jokes slowly change, you know, like something will go missing and then you'll realise that she's in on it too and stuff like that. And the jokes about how, you know, he's a movie star, so he crashes his car because he's driving too fast earlier. It's like quite funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Or he's really drunk and then... He's like, I don't know, he sells all the land and then he gets lit on fire. Like, it's clever.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, this movie has got, it's like, it's the kind of movie that you need to watch twice.
Yeah,
to like,
I would
properly
agree.
Get everything that happens.
And to understand all the jokes as well.
Exactly. Like, I was watching a video on it, like, I think last week, and it was like, because it was going through, like, all the details you might miss. And there's so many details you might have missed in this movie. And it's like, you should watch this movie twice.
Yeah.
That's it, even three
definitely,
times, just
definitely.
So you get everything.
Because it's a bit like, it's like a, what, two hour and a half, just...
Personally, it doesn't feel like
it. Yeah, I know,
it feels like an hour
really
long.
Quick, but it's just packed with jokes. Like, the whole film is like a supercut of police jokes with violence. Like, and I like that Simon Pegg is just ridiculously good at everything.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's really funny.
Yeah, and so like, there's a few things that happen as far as I know, in each film. Yeah, you've got the Cornetto thing. Then you've got the thing where, like, Nick Frost tries to jump over
the fence and
it always fails. And then you've got the thing where, like, something always happens in the bar and there's always this one, like, game. I can't remember what you call it, but, like, this... Yeah. Yeah, there's, like, what do you call those things that...
The slot machines
and stuff.
Yeah,
kind of
like
things.
How in this movie the guy like takes a wee in the bar.
Yeah.
And he's like at a slot machine.
Yeah, so like that happens in each of these films. So, you know, that's just that's really interesting. I remember like hearing like an interview once with like Simon Pegg and somebody asked him if they'll ever do a sequel to Hot Fuzz and he said absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's perfect as it is.
Yeah, as
I think
it is.
It's one of the main things that like it's brilliantly crafted to be kind of its own film.
Yeah, that's very true.
And it's a standalone film. So, out of curiosity, are there any performances you'd say are completely standout? I mean, Simon Pegg is brilliant. I thought that the twin kind of detectives
Those are the only ones I didn't like.
Like, you've got a moustache.
I know. Like, he's got that. I know. But, like, those are the only characters I just kind of didn't like because they were just so, like... mean for like compared to the rest of the cops. They were unreasonably mean, and they came off really unlikable. So
I think one of the things as well that this film does so well is, and every Edgar Wright film, I mean, if you watch like Shaun of the Dead, if you watch something like Scott Pilgrim versus the World, if you watch,
he's very
like,
very like good at directing. Yeah,
he's very good, and he has this kind of infectious happiness, and you can feel in the film that the cast had fun making it.
Yeah,
like that's a fun movie, and that kind of radiates on us. You know, they definitely had fun, firing their guns around and running around this village, which. Fun fact is actually where Edgar Wright grew up. That's his hometown.
Really?
Where he filmed.
Oh.
He originally said, I don't want to film in my hometown. It's a lot like it. And he ended up filming there anyway. But I think it's very infectious, this kind of it's fun to make violence on screen. And that in turn makes it fun for us to watch.
Yeah.
I think that's where a lot of films where they don't have fun, you can kind of feel it, you know?
That's true. Yeah, this movie, all the cast seems to like genuinely enjoy being here.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't fake like in film, I just don't think you can fake like proper happiness and stuff, like, and enjoyment. That's why certain films, like, their acting just feels so hollow, because you don't feel like they're actually enjoying being here. All these actors clearly enjoy what they're doing right now. Yeah, so, you know,
so which of the deaths in the film would you say is most brutal and funniest? So obviously you've got the Romeo and Juliet lovers, which was so bad.
Exactly. It was so bad. No, like, the one that came straight out of nowhere was the house blowing.
Oh, I that just, was like, crazy. Yeah, this guy just goes in his house. Yeah, just bang.
This guy just went in his house, like, and then just bam, that's it. That's just it. That's a problem that I had with Shaun of the Dead as well. People just die in these movies.
Yeah. They, I think a lot of people just die, and also a lot of people who are really big name actors just kind of turn up randomly. You've got David Bradley.
Isn't that the guy from
he was in Harry Potter.
Yeah,
he played
what's
the groundskeeper.
Mr. Filch.
Oh. Yeah, and then you've got the guy who plays Alan Partridge turns up for like 3 minutes of screen time. Martin Freeman's in this movie. He plays like a backup
cop.
Oh,
he plays
cop.
Like the police guy at the beginning.
And you've got the dad from About Time, who just turns up for like 3 minutes.
What?
And he's like, he's a really well-established actor.
Wait, the guy, Bill Nighy. Yeah, I was about to say Davy Jones or something.
Is quite... And I like as well that the they bring things in very early.
Yes.
Only for them to like become important later. So for example, the sea mine. They bring it in very early and it doesn't do anything until the very, very end where it blows up.
That was another issue. Again, straight out of nowhere. Everything's resolved and you just kind of decide to blow up. I'm just... there's not really any point in that. I felt like they could have handled that better. Like, the movie had already ended. It was basically at the end. Then they decided to just, like, blow up, like, the station. So it was just... I think that was just adding on way too much. Like, you just didn't really need that.
Yeah.
You know?
I can see where that comes from. And I think as well, one of the things of the movie is like, it's like making characters overly important at times.
Yeah.
Like, you have side characters who then become important later in the film and it feels a bit almost right. Like, for example, the Yarp Narp guy, you know, Narp, Yarp. You know,
yeah.
He becomes really important quite randomly.
Yeah, that's true.
And it felt a bit...
It's got a lot of characters, this movie.
It's got a lot.
It's hard to follow on. Like, okay, this character's doing this, and this one's part of the cult, and this one's dead, and this one's a good person, this one's a bad person. It's like, it's a little too much, like...
And obviously a huge part of it is pop culture references.
Yeah.
And I mean, in a
but
way...
But it's not over... It's not
yeah,
overdone.
Yeah, in a way, I enjoy that.
They have a reason.
They have
movies.
So many. Like, yeah. They've got the Point Break, like, firing in the air. They've got the, like, rainfall at all times. The, like, sinister, but not actually the villain characters. I think it's quite fun.
But, like, I have problems with movies that have just pop culture references for the sake of, like, them just being there. This movie has a reason for them to be there.
Yeah.
You know, it adds to the story, and that's kind of the important... That's like, if you're going to do pop culture references, they have to have a point, and this movie, like, clearly has a point.
So, I mean, we can't talk Hot Fuzz without the last 20 to 30 minutes of just pure and utter violence.
Completely off the rails.
I mean, I personally love it.
I don't have a problem.
It's so funny.
Yeah, it's just like all these... I don't know. And it's the mental image of all these people that, you know, everybody knows these people. Yeah, everybody just, knows like these people in like your town who are like, you know, this like this the old gardener, lady. Yeah, the gardener. And, it's just that mental image of them just having a, they just have like a gun on them.
I know.
They just kind of have a gun and they're having a shootout and in the middle of this town.
I think the thing that the Edgar Wright does really well, and also directors like James Gunn do really well as well, is they set up jokes really early and then like kind of hit it home at the end.
Yeah.
So one of the lines very early in the film is everyone and their grandma is packing a gun here. And quite literally at the end, you see a guy and his grandma with a shotgun. And they kind of nail that home really, really early. Yeah. So people like Donald Glover with Atlanta, James Gunn with like the Guardians of the Galaxy, they're all really good at that kind of style of joke. Which it takes a bit of advanced like humor to understand, but it's really funny.
It is.
And I think the violence isn't like corny. It is well done.
It is very well done.
Like for I would call this an indie film. I mean, it didn't.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think its budget was huge.
Its budget was, I think, 15 million and it only made 80 million. So it's not a particularly like, 8 million.
8 million. And I mean, that is not that much when
that
you think about.
That is nothing compared to like
compared to some of the later films like Shaun of the Dead.
Like, think about this. Like, it came out around the same time as something like The Dark Knight or like the Pirates of the Caribbean trilogy. So it's like, it had such a smaller budget, like a fraction of what they have. But the action, in my opinion, it's nearly as good as what they have.
I mean, honestly, it's brilliant. And I think part of the way that they do that so well is having a variety of weapons.
Yeah.
I think really helps with that because it helps create visual variety where you don't think, oh, all of the guns are the same or they all shoot the same. Like, it's quite good. And again, that commitment we were talking about, if you're committed to making a good film, then that violence is going to look better because, you know, you're throwing yourself more, you're being angrier. Like, it's really well done.
Yes. I just think Edgar Wright is just a really particularly action director. Yeah.
And I think the part of that as well, as I was saying with the weapons, is the unlikely weapons. You know, they get stabbed by a set of shears or the head of a church and you don't see it coming.
You don't see that coming.
It feels so much more like well done.
Yeah, and they genuinely have a really good well done mystery in this movie.
Yeah, like it's good mystery. And I'd say it's probably got one of the best kind of comedy, comic relief characters. Nick Frost as the son and one of the worst police officers I've ever seen is a brilliant comic relief.
I can't remember. It's like at the beginning of the movie where like this guy, the you know, the drunk guy at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, he turns out to be a police officer.
He just happens to be a police officer. I think this guy is taking it.
Yeah,
I'm like,
that's just brilliantly done.
Yeah, that was very good.
I think the way that they craft the comedy makes it, it's definitely, in my opinion, a top 10 comedy movie of all time. It's just brilliantly done. It's hilarious. Everyone is funny in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a variety of types of humor. So everyone is guaranteed to find at least one person funny.
Exactly. I don't think I'm ever going to meet somebody who just doesn't like this movie because you can't
everyone
not
loves
like
it.
Not even if you love it, even if you just like it. It's like, I don't think I'm ever going to meet someone who just doesn't
like
it.
Violent,
there's nothing that you can't like about it. Yeah. There's something here for everybody.
For everyone.
Exactly.
It's like the violent, gross cousin of like rom-com movies.
Exactly.
Everyone eventually is going to love it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this is structured slightly like a rom-com movie. I think that's what makes it quite funny is, you know, there's like the meeting, but the rom-com is between the two best friends.
Yeah, and it's like they hate each, they don't really like each other, then they begin to like each other.
End, he chooses his best friend over his job. And I think it's structured like a rom-com movie and that is guaranteed to be a successful film. And I think that's what's just brilliant about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what would you give this out of 10?
I'm going to have to say probably a 9 out of 10. I think the important thing to establish is when I'm rating something out of 10, and I don't know, we might decide this for our podcast too, is out of 10 for its intent. So obviously this film isn't the greatest film ever made, but its intent is to be a funny, you know, like jokey film that takes like the mickey out of what an action movie is.
Yeah.
And I think it does that to the most perfect degree that you can. And for that,
for what it's trying to do,
it's
and what
it's
trying to be, it's very, it's
there
very
are gaping
good.
Plot holes and there
are
issues,
there's like lots, there's quite, there's more issues than the normal, like, properly good movie has. But for what it is, I really do enjoy it.
But what I wonder is whether those potholes were put there in purpose. Because if you watch movies, you know, like Beverly Hills Cop, Bad Boys, stuff like that. Like, they have those issues in them, but they don't even intend to have them. Like, it's like, come on, you know that guy's a villain.
Exactly, but you don't come to those. You don't come to those movies
like wanting that.
Yeah, no, you come to them just for the action and stuff, you know?
Yeah, so I think it's got, it deserves its score because it's got that kind of, it's got that brilliant foreshadowing.
Yeah.
It's got brilliant comedy, really well done violence. Everyone is well written. It's good cinematography. And I think it's a breath of fresh air for it to be set somewhere different.
Yeah.
I mean, this village is like pretty average.
It's just, for me, it's just so British and just that, you need that kind of cleansing feeling.
Yeah.
Because when you watch so many American movies, like saying like California or New York and stuff, when you finally come to something like this, that's like really close to home, it's really good. It really makes you feel something, this film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah, this film is really, really good on multiple levels. So what would you give it? Like, if we're doing a rating for our La Cosa Nostra rating, what are we giving it?
It's got, like, genuine problems, but, like, for what it is, I really enjoy it. So it's an 8.5.
8.5 for you?
Yeah, so I say we just, like, split the difference and just go for
a 4. A 4 out of 5.
Four, yeah, that's
good. 4 out of 5, I think, yeah. It's a fair rating. It's really well done. It's, like, really funny. Like, it's got a brilliant cast, too.
No, wait. Look at one of the... I was reading one of the reviews. One of them just says, yarp.
Yeah, like, yarp. Like, I think it's just... It's got so many iconic lines and iconic characters. Like,
yeah.
Olivia Colman's in there. She plays,
I don't know
that,
why, but
she plays that female police officer that's just been around the police officer.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, the Nicholas Angle thing is funny for, like, a good 3 minutes, but then they kind of drag it on for ages. But, I mean...
What do you think the best joke is?
The best joke in the film... well, it's hard to say. My favourite recurring joke in the film is the shop pub joke, which then is set up as, like, when they say shop and then they kill the lady who runs the shop, and then pub and they kill the people who runs the pub. I think that's my favourite, like, recurring joke. I think just my favourite straight joke... It might be the first 10 minutes when you see Nicholas Angel, like, being a great cop.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I quite like the Point Break joke.
Okay, my favorite has to be the one about, like, I can't even remember the name of the guy, but, like, the phone call they have.
Oh, and it's that, like, oh, one, yeah, very is funny. So funny.
And then...
You've got an escape squad. Oh, yeah, what's your name? P is of. Yeah, funny,
oh,
mate.
Yeah,
and then it's
that.
Like, his name's actually that. Like, that's really funny.
And then
that's a recurring
car.
Joke where the swan just randomly turns up like, midway through the fight scene.
And then, like, how the car, it goes from him, like, being really pissed to just a complete cut of him just saying, okay, then just writing down, like, all the information.
Contrast, like, in this film is just brilliant, I think.
Yeah.
And I love also the jokes about, like, the youth and the, like, the talking statue. It was really funny.
Yeah.
Like, how he's, like, you know, how they're all, like, spray painting and stuff, and he takes them all to prison. And the other thing I think that's quite funny is a lot of body cop movies neglect paperwork. Like, a big part of being a cop is the paperwork. And the fact that the closing scene of the movie was, like, them doing their paperwork until this, like, old dude comes out with, like, an 1800s musket revolver.
Yeah, that was the thing. It came straight, like...
It's, like, so absurd.
I know.
But it's funny.
Yeah. The video I was watching about it was, like, they were saying that one of the things that a lot of police officers who watched this really liked about it was the paperwork.
Yeah.
Because paperwork is so important. It's so important and it's so tedious
and
stuff.
But the fact they make fun of the paperwork, like, when he first brings all of those, like, teenagers in, he says, like... Are you sure you want to do this? There's going to be so much paperwork. And it's like, fine, I've got a pen. He's like, what if your pen runs out? I've got another one. He has, like, 3 pens to do the paperwork.
Yeah.
I find, like, they make the fact that they, like, are wholeheartedly making fun of the whole thing kind of balances it out, because it doesn't feel overly, you know, like, sexist or overly making fun of, like, certain stereotypes. But, like, it's funny because it does it all, like... It's like banter, but with
the whole
world.
It's not cruel. It's not cruel.
Yeah, it's just, it's like a love letter to, like, very unknown British villagers. And living in, like, well, in the outskirts of, like, Slough, where there's small villages, like, dotted around.
Yeah.
That is pretty much life there. Like, everyone
I live
knows
in a
everyone.
Village exactly
you got the,
like
random Sainsbury's that's just kind of there.
And you just, like, in my village, it's just filled with, like, all these little old ladies and stuff.
And, like, the jokes they make about it being an independent supermarket in a world of, like, Sainsbury's is really funny because that's actually true. Like,
that is true.
You'll see
a
lot of, like, people who run, like, nowadays it's a lot, like, bike shops and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, but there's Halfords down the road. And it's like, yeah, and it's taking their business.
Yeah.
But they kind of, they just, they bring attention to it without, it's similar to what they do in Dead Poets Society. They talk about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And they kind of
it's
just
got a lot of
gloss.
Stuff in it, yeah.
But it's funny. It's like a great roller coaster. It's really funny.
Yeah, so that is Hot Fuzz.
That's a 4 out of 5. That is a very good movie, I think. Good movie, if you haven't seen it,
Watch it.
Really funny. If you've seen it, go and rewatch it. It's brilliant. I think
I'm probably gonna have to rewatch.
It's probably one of the best movies that is just funny.
Yeah.
If I want to sit down and watch a movie, I'm gonna watch Hot Fuzz.
I mean, it's just so
funny.
Yeah.
Simon Pegg. I mean, I don't think it won any major awards. I checked.
It needs
to have won.
I didn't
more.
Expect it to because it's like
it's too indie. I think it's
a British comedy. It's not even the indie thing. It's the fact that it's a British comedy.
Not that nobody likes it.
It's just the Academy is never going to go anywhere near that.
Because I think, look, it's got 2 wins and 9 nominations.
So,
I mean,
like,
wow.
Yeah, and they're probably British.
British Comedy Awards, Empire Awards, National Movie Awards in the UK, Golden Schmoes. Oh, it got nominated in Russia.
There we go. Best blockbuster.
Pretty cool, guys.
I don't think an $8 million movie counts as a best blockbuster movie.
But I mean, how much did it make in the end?
80. Which for a British film is for a British indie film.
Yeah, 80. That's 10 times what they spent, which is quite impressive.
Yeah, like,
I mean, if you compare that.
No, because like if you're making 10 times more than you put in, that's genuinely like, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot.
That's more than something. I'm just thinking off the top of my head.
Unfortunately, I think a lot of that got put into the very dismal third Cornetto trilogy movie.
I've never seen it.
It was a good, I think it had a $60 million budget and it was just a pretty average movie. I think what's good about this is they didn't spend that much money on it and it's kind of, you can tell, but it's funny because it's like, it's not perfectly made.
I know, but it's really interesting to see like a movie like off the top of my head, like Fast and the Furious 10, which cost about $350 million and made about $720 million. Made less money than this movie that cost $8 million and made $80
million. I know. I think that's quite impressive.
Yeah.
But what I think is really good, like...
No, at World's End,
I think this movie,
million.
This movie is the funniest, has the funniest signature gags of the Cornetto trilogy. Like,
yeah, it does. It's the most popular one.
The fence jump in this is really
funny. Yeah, it's the funniest, yeah.
Because it's so well executed. But I think there's things about... I think that the right people were chosen in this film. I think in some of them, the main people who picked the movie don't, like... This film, I think, is where Simon Pegg gets to show his, like, true colours as, you know, he then does Mission Impossible later on. His action ability is, like, shown that he can be an Ethan Hunt-like character.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, there we go, then.
There we go. That is Hot Fuzz. 4 out of 5. Thank you for listening. I've been Edward.
Been Noah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Bye.